Private storage. So I just was like, you know, if it's a permanent storage, yeah, it's not. But there are times when, you know, you have an operator that'll leave equipment on your property at your landing because you have designated landings, and stuff may overwinter there.
It makes,
you know, so I just want to make sure that the time frame isn't prohibitive of what we're actually doing. You know, it's not a permanent storage facility.
Do you want to leave it as is, or do you want
as long as it's recognized?
Because it didn't, you know, like
I just wasn't sure if it was, we're talking temp storage or permanent storage. I think that's my only question. So,
if it's, I guess if we
can, if it's permanent,
if
I
if we could just put the word permanent right here, that would solve it.
Yeah, I think so.
Did you want to pull up the definition?
I did, and there was no definition.
Oh, there is.
Oh, is there?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Director Lane.
Yeah, so just you type in equipment and material.
Okay.
Because sometimes it won't, like, find the word. Yeah, so it's right there.
I used some of the starting.
Thank you.
You're welcome. For some reason, it's only, like, picking up the first word in each definition, you know?
So my question, Commissioner Fowler, bringing up speed, is it's a permitted use, and rightfully so, for AG1 and AG2 for equipment and material storage. But it was not allowed on TPZ. And I was thinking it should be allowed, you know, at least on a temporary basis. So my question was, is this line item definition permanent storage, temporary storage, or just any storage? Because we definitely store equipment for extended periods of time on site on TPC.
Yeah, so the definition reads, a use involving the storage of equipment, vehicles, or materials not associated with industrial operations where such storage is limited in scale and conducted in a manner compatible with surrounding agricultural or rural uses. This use is intended for incidental or accessory storage and does not include contractor yards, commercial storage operations, industrial storage, or uses characterized by ongoing outdoor storage, heavy equipment staging, or other impacts inconsistent with the surrounding area.
So based on that definition, Commissioner Lindler, it might just be appropriate just to do permitted.
Okay, yeah.
You know.
And I had one question. If you go back to that definition, what is the definition of industrial operations? Because it says not associated with industrial operations.
Yeah, in the table it says non-industrial.
Yeah, so, you know.
How do you distinguish?
That would be non-industrial uses, right?
Okay, which is all of our small landowners are considered non-industrial timberland owners.
Mm-hmm.
And we would store equipment there, you know, especially over winter. It's not uncommon for people to get, like, their equipment snowed in. And it'll sit there for 6-8 months until it, they get back on the job.
Well, if you're going to use it again next spring, it doesn't make sense to take it off.
Yeah, so if it's permitted, I think we're fine.
Yeah.
We're okay, thank you. Okay. I didn't have any other questions.
One for clarification, if you'll roll just the last row on page 204, construction of levee dike.
Was that above this category?
Yeah.
I can just look it up.
It's down lower. It was in the other uses, the accessory structure.
Oh, okay, way on that.
So. Nope, up. Stop. Construction of levee,
I
dike.
See.
We eliminated that last meeting, permitted by right.
Okay.
At least on AG1 and AG2. I'm not sure what it was for TPZ. But those should, 1 and 2 should be permitted by right.
Yeah. I don't know what it should be, in all honesty, for TPZ, because
seems like it's just passing through TPZ, right?
I would say just permit it. I mean,
then you need to deal with the state.
State and feds.
Yep. but county.
Okay, I agree there. Okay, thank you.
And I'm thinking that if we're successful getting upland storage increase, county has already made it public that they're in favor of that. So let us deal with the state and feds. Don't make us jump through county hoops.
I guess continue on, please. And then we're down to the...
So do you want to concentrate just on the tables? Because a lot of the changes...
I did have a question on the definition here. So we allow by a county, and we have the right to allow a smaller size TPZ parcel than the state minimum.
So what we have here is...
We talked about that, last meeting.
Okay.
And what we have here is actually what was approved by the board in the List C from 1971.
Okay.
But again, this is your opportunity to, because we're going to recommend this to the board, you know, if you want to change that, this would be where you would change it, you know, if you felt like...
So one of the things, and maybe I'll get your guys' advice, and Commissioner Hart, probably you. So, you know, 40 acres is really hard to manage as a TPZ sustained yield, which you're required to do under TPZ. The state has a higher threshold on minimum. You know, if the Board of Supervisors approve that, it's not my place to change it or make a suggestion. So I'll just leave it.
And it would probably affect smaller property owners.
Yeah, because they still have to define in their management plan that they're able to generate successive harvests, even if it is a small parcel.
It depends on the site classification, right?
Yep.
That's what I learned.
Yep.
So
stop there, because my next question is on the distillery, brewery, winery. But Commissioner Hart had a question.
Yeah, just under forced practice rule, Daniel, is there a designation on size?
It's regardless of zoning. The forced practice rules apply to anywhere. The whole profession of forestry, rather commercial or non-commercial, applies anywhere where there's a definition of what's called a forest and landscape, and the threshold is 15 cubic feet volume of wood produced or historically present timber resource. So regardless of zone.
Ready for my question?
Yes.
Okay. On B1, we're allowed. I think we had this discussion at our last meeting. Specifically discussing the words "are grown on the parcel." That needs to be expanded because we all know that
adjacent parcel.
Farms and ranches, well, and it may not even be adjacent. There may be a parcel in between. It's
under the same property
it
owner.
It needs to be allowed where ag crops grown by the operation are used, whether it be a distillery, a brewery, or a winery. But it's allowed if I have 40 different parcels and I'm growing hops and barley and whatnot. Okay, I'm fine there. Wineries, you know, we know that there are specific climates where the grapes grow best.
Yep.
Somebody may have gone out and bought a 2-acre parcel here, a 4-acre parcel here in order to grow the grapes, but they can bring them to a central location that's AG1, AG2, they also own and have their winery.
So the issue is the same common ownership.
Yeah.
So maybe we should phrase
we'll
it
update that.
Yeah.
Or grown on a parcel under the same ownership, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the consultants and county council basically will wordsmith it. But for now, are grown on.
I have the note.
A parcel under common ownership.
I'll let council massage that, but I didn't want to limit it, because especially when you're talking wineries and or a brewery, that's going to be pretty tough in some cases. We're not mm-hmm. like the Napa Valley.
Right. Good catch.
Should it be continuous?
Continuous, I think you'll get in trouble, because like the winery down Scott River Road, I think they own four parcels, and
they
two of them are not connected to the other two. So your continuous or contiguous would not apply there.
Yeah, I think allowing the most flexibility is good. Okay, let's see, what page are we on? Let's see. I'm sorry, I've lost my spot.
Is that 205, 206? We move into there?
I'm on 207.
207.
Oh, okay.
So do you want to move on to the development standards for those zones, the agricultural, TBC, and open space zones?
That's where I am.
Okay,
yes.
Perfect.
Yes, please.
And this is good because we often have times currently with our development standards for parcels now. So changing it now.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I'm just throwing this out there for discussion clarification. So we are, and I'm looking at the maximum parcel coverage.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it means. Not a question there. Where my question comes in is on a farm. Hypothetically, one farm could be made up of 10 parcels
mm-hmm.
because of past history. And the parcel that is best suited for building a barn or a storage facility, which is going to be allowed by right, could be on a parcel that's only 1 acre in size,
mm-hmm.
but the structure, which is allowed by right, may violate 10% coverage simply because it's an existing parcel. Is that person going to be able to get a waiver because ownership of 10 parcels, the coverage would be assigned to the acres of the farm? Or are we literally saying that parcel, so they would have to come in and do a boundary line adjustment
right.
in order to increase the size of that parcel to 40 acres? But what is the methodology for allowing that storage facility
mm-hmm.
to be built? I guess that's what I'm asking.
There's a few ways we can go about it, right? We could have there be a process where it's reviewed by the director. And maybe elevated to planning to be consistent with other processes, or we could line out, you know, exceptions and describe the scenario, you know, you're referencing, as long as it's complied, you know, with consistently. I don't see a problem. I don't know, James, if you have any ideas on how to streamline that.
So where you're talking about where it says maximum parcel coverage, 10%, 20%,
uh-huh.
1 acre.
Yeah.
So we could just put a footnote that says, you know, for parcels that do not meet the minimum parcel size requirements, which is 40 acres, 10 acres, 40 acres, right?
Right. Because we have a lot of pre-existing non-conforming AG1.
Right.
But we could have a footnote that just says,
yeah, that's true.
In those situations, you can, rather than just considering that one parcel, you can consider the surrounding parcels that are under common ownership to go up to the 40 acres.
I think that'd
that's
be
true,
important.
That's true, because it is above
know.
The acres, yeah.
Yeah.
That would allow you to go above the acres, because if you have multiple parcels, but it's still the same farm, everything's connected, why wouldn't we allow that to be?
That's why I was asking the question.
Right.
Because your barn might be bigger, or your facility might be a bit bigger than 10. So footnote on that.
Because I'm currently non-conforming on one parcel,
mm-hmm.
and it's
right.
technically zoned AG1, even though it's not. But my corrals and barns and whatnot occupy greater than 10% of
sure.
that one parcel.
Yeah.
Well, and I have another question with the setbacks. So, on those setbacks, in you know, full disclosure, I'm experienced.
I think the setbacks should be removed from here.
Okay.
If you think about it, setbacks make sense if you're in a small residential.
Thank you.
But if you're TPZ.
But what my question was going to be, because I'm dealing with this right now, is I wanted to put a garage adjacent to my house, or closer to my house, and I was told I can't. I had to push my garage back extra footage away from my house. So I have to walk further to get to my garage to my house, and it took part of my back pasture out mm-hmm. to where now my whole site plan in my head has changed. I could see if it's a setback off of a road or an adjacent neighbor, but when I have 225 acres and I want a garage next to my house, I should be able to put a garage next to my house if it's detached, and I'm not able to. So I think setbacks should go away unless we're talking parcel to parcel.
So also, there's local setbacks that we have, right, these regulations. There's also setbacks set by CAL FIRE for buildings, which is more prohibitive than...
Is that what happened with
me? Yeah, because they have distance between and surrounding buildings, and it is prohibitive.
So
is
CAL FIRE that said no?
So maybe it's CAL FIRE saying no. I'm going to go give them a hard time. Because,
it's...
So basically what they did is they pushed my building back into the trees more.
So here's our actual, here's the existing code that we currently operate under for AG1, AG2. There's actually no setbacks.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm recommending, when I look at the consultant's version of 50 feet, that we go back to this where there's no setbacks in,
mm-hmm.
because these parcels are so huge. And if you want to build your barn closer to the property line, you should be okay, right? You know, so long as you're not intruding into the next property, just because the setbacks that are a concern generally are in residential areas where, you know, but this doesn't apply, and our existing code doesn't have these setbacks. So I would recommend going back.
Yeah, especially on the internal property lines.
See, I would remove all these right here.
Thank you.
That's up to you though. If you agree, then I would do that.
I mean, do you guys see a need for setbacks within one's own parcel property?
I think there are two issues. One is the structure to structure setback. The other is setback in relation to a public right of way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that I support. I understand the need for, you know, ingress, egress, safety equipment, fire equipment.
That's a public works requirement typically, right? So these, and we can just further define it in our code, these are setbacks.
For property lines.
Property lines.
So say you have a fence line, you know, in your parcel here, you know, they're saying 30 to 50 feet.
I know what they're saying, and this is partially of the discussion why Mr. Carroll came up with the language on the boundaries. Technically, everyone from Horn Lane to Callahan, most of us, and on East Callahan Road, have one or more violations of the front setback, whether it be the Highway 3 or East Callahan Road. But the difference there is we own it. It's not state or county owned. And that's why I'm looking at the front setback. I'm trying to think of how to do this, because I get if it's state property or county property, that 50-foot front, yeah, that by right, that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
If it is not county or state owned, I'm trying to think of my setback on Highway 3, I believe, is 22 feet from centerline. And on East Callahan Road, the setback there from a front is probably right around 40.
Is that with 30, your fencing?
35 to 40, oh, and structure.
We would probably want to keep the front setback, though, just for the safety. Are you talking about existing structure or a new structure?
No, so it, by law, if I replace, then it's considered new. Therefore, it would, these setbacks would apply.
Yeah.
But I would say if it's an existing structure that's being replaced, it should be held to the previous standard, not a new standard.
As long as it's built in that same location.
Correct. As long as it's occupying the same footprint,
mm-hmm. yeah.
the setback mm-hmm. should not apply.
Yes.
It is where I'm going with this.
Mm-hmm.
Would it make sense to keep the front setback for these zones and then just remove the side and rear setbacks?
No.
Because well, the front setback is abutting usually the road. So really that's the issue. No, most people aren't caring what you're doing.
Yeah, but I'm thinking of all of our fences. Like I, like, you know, on my property, you know, I'm Stewart Springs, Old 99 and Old Stage. I don't have one fence that's 50 feet off the center line of that road. They're 20 feet off the road.
But I think we wouldn't mess
so
with anything.
So with that, I would, you would, if I ever had to re-fence, I'm shrunk in an extra 30 feet.
So much progress.
Maybe that's the logic of
you
why
know,
they didn't include it in the first place.
So, there's a whole bunch of roads. They're county roads. The landowner still owns the property. Still paying property taxes.
That's my point.
And so if you're going to put these restrictions in.
That's the
so
thing.
Maybe that's why
I'm
they didn't have
pull
it.
Them all.
Okay.
Pull them all, yeah.
Pull them all on AG1, AG2, and okay. TBZ.
Because yeah. yeah. to your point, I own both sides of the road on Old Stage Road for half a mile.
There.
Yeah, I'm better with that. That simplifies and doesn't complicate.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think in our last meeting we had the discussion on the height. I think I had mentioned and recommended that on AG1, AG2, we bumped that to 50 feet.
You did.
We did discuss that.
The height?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because and I'm simply going off of, you know, the pole barns we're building now.
Just getting bigger.
If you're running a trucker stack, 7 high, double edge, 2 blocks high, clearance for the bottom, and then by the time you measure to the peak of the roof, you're over 40 feet.
And you're just speaking to accessory buildings, right?
Well,
I guess it could. Well, and I guess it could be the main one on AG1.
Technically, it's a storage barn.
Yeah, that's true.
Whether it's storage or accessory,
yeah,
I think
okay.
bumping it to 50 feet makes more sense.
Yeah. Okay.
I wonder.
As long as it meets snow load.
Would this?
That, yeah.
Yeah.
Because the way this table is written, this would apply to residences on the AG1 as well.
Uh huh.
Are we
right.
having an unintended? Maybe have a different category so we're not allowing 50-foot homes. And again, maybe that's not an issue. Maybe we would be okay having, but.
If somebody, there's already an existing home that's over 40 feet right off Highway 3. It was allowed to be built.
Yeah, okay.
Okay,
granted,
so what
it's
about
on top of a hill.
Yeah, that one, yeah.
But it's like 52 feet, it's 3 stories. Plus a half above ground basement.
Yeah, okay.
A castle.
Yep.
It is.
What about TPZ? I mean, if equipment's getting larger in agriculture, I can't imagine equipment's getting smaller in TPZ. Would it make sense to increase the height?
I would. I would just keep for consistency as
okay.
well.
What about open space?
Uh,
Honestly, well, it should matter.
Well, the parcel coverage.
How much open space?
The parcel coverage, that, I think that shouldn't be a county concern. I think that's.
Yeah, we talked earlier. We said we're going to do a footnote that says if your maximum parcel coverage, and you only have 1 acre, we're going to allow you to use surrounding property under common ownership to get to the minimum parcel size. So it would still be counted as 10% of 40 acres, which is a structure of 4 acres. That's pretty big.
So, okay, that maximum parcel coverage, we are talking about coverage of
structures.
The structures.
So if you have 40 acres.
Yeah, it's not going to be like logs on the ground.
No,
right?
But like when I think of structures, like I'm just in my head, like thinking the timberland converted area.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the parking lots, the roads, it's not the converted area. It's the physical buildings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's 43,560 feet per parcel enough. I wonder where the 1 acre came from and not just the same percentages as you're using on AG1 and AG2.
Designated open space, is there really a need for a building greater than 35 feet?
Yeah, that's what we should tell her.
No, but it also says an open space zone.
So I wonder if that is...
Oh, that's the OS designation.
Yeah,
like a
OS.
Typo? Because in the current...
We don't have many open space zoned parcels in the county.
The only ones that I can think of off the top of my head is the golf course in Lake Chestina.
Yeah.
So, Vice Chair Lindler, there's no coverage for TPZ in our current code. It might make sense to just delete this, right?
Okay.
So there's no maximum.
Yeah, I'll just leave it there because somebody's going to have to do the state process anyways.
And I would point out too, in our current code, there's no maximum parcel coverage either for AG1 or AG2. So it might make sense to
just carry that over
and remove these, and then we don't have to play around. It's just basically if you're AG1, AG2, your buildings are what you need.
Exactly. Thank you.
Just don't go over 50 feet.
Yep, right, because the lot coverage is more for residential, smaller commercial, maybe even some industrial in some cases, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
I think, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Would that work like that?
I think that's less restrictive. So
yeah.
Less
we
restrictive.
Should probably remove it for, well, no, it's currently it's 35% for open space.
Which, I don't know what your guys' decision, but
sense.
I mean, it is open space,
yes,
right?
If we cover the whole thing, it's no longer.
It's no longer open space.
Yeah. that's fair, yeah.
Okay, let's move on. I'm on page 209.
Okay, yeah, I'm not, I'm
question before that?
On 208.
Okay.
On the Williamson 10125060B, eligibility number one, we've had this discussion in the past, no argument that the parcels need to be zoned AG1 or AG2. We also had the discussion that some, not all, but some Williamson Act contracts include parcels that are partially TPZ.
Mm-hmm.
Simply due to task zoning.
Mm-hmm.
And they are existing contracts, and I've made it clear in the past that in my opinion should not be a reason for canceling a contract simply because the contract includes a parcel that may be partially zoned TPZ.
It wouldn't be a basis. I think the main basis to get out of Williamson Act is you're not doing commercial agriculture. I mean, that's the easiest baseline.
Right, but your TPZ is being great. Privately owned, a privately owned parcel that is zone TPZ, but is in that window of no harvesting due to age of stand, but is actively being grazed, is or will show a gross income of ag receipts, not timber receipts.
Well, I think for staff, I don't think we should be looking at a Williamson Act contract at all. If it's current and there's no allegation of it's not being used for commercial agriculture, we shouldn't be just going through and saying, hey, the zoning is inconsistent, you're out. That should only trigger when the contract comes up and there is an issue of, you know, whether or not there's commercial agriculture, then we could look at correcting the zoning and stuff. But if it's already in a contract, it makes no sense for us to go back. If it's been in a contract for the last 30 years, why would we now want to go back and say, aha, you've had this.
You're saying that now.
Common sense.
But just 2 years ago, that's exactly what was happening. Mm-hmm. And that's what caused a major fecal storm.
Yeah.
And why the county finally directed planning staff, put a stop on your reevaluations at this time.
Yes.
Yeah. We need to get general, and yeah. Right now we're here at the general plan, and that's why I'm bringing it up, mm-hmm. that we need to make darn sure that when Mr. Phelps and Ms. Lang are gone, mm-hmm. that understanding is in writing. When we have a Williamson contract, and a parcel within the contract is TPZ, but used for ag purposes, it should not be a factor for canceling the contract or forcing the landowner to do a zone change.
I think that would be better in the Williamson Act policy guidelines that we have, you know, that what is it called? At Williamson Act?
Yeah, our guidelines, TPZ, I'm trying to think, it is in it. And as I've mentioned before, I know the board is taking a different stance on TPZ right now with Williamson. And of course that's subject to change, you know, based on board makeups changing over time. I think it's fine to note it, and we'll just highlight it at the board discussion just because I know they'll bring that up.
On that one, B1, if it's deemed appropriate after, say, is zoned AG1 or AG2, and may include TPZ, may include.
Yeah. Would it be appropriate, Commissioner Fowle, just because, and Assistant County Counsel Carol, if you would weigh in, it's a lot easier to change the policy in the Williamson Act policy handbook than changing an ordinance. So maybe we could do a change for B2 that says, to be eligible, it has to comply with, and it should say this already.
Well, this is all new.
Well,
and that's why I'm bringing it up.
That's what I'm saying. We should change this part to say it should comply with the Williamson Act guidelines, the county's Williamson Act guidelines. It's easier to change those.
Just having that be the one note.
Yes.
Not even talking about zone. Because you could also say is zoned for commercial agriculture and make it general.
There you are, bringing in the word commercial again.
I think if you reference our guidelines, because then it lends credence to the ag department, county ag department, and also what planning is doing with the guidelines.
Yeah, we can
then
just keep that.
That way we can make any changes, because you're going to see the guidelines anyway. It's easier to change guidelines than an ordinance. Like, okay. This is new, but...
Well, then let me ask this question. The government code sections 51, 222, and 223, is that referring to county government code or
no,
state?
No, state.
I have a problem, because counties are allowed more flexibility and mm-hmm. state can go to hell. County can determine whatever the hell requirements or restrictions we want because we're no longer getting subvention funds.
Yeah.
Therefore, the government code to reference to state, I would have an issue, because then we'd be in conflict with state government code, because state government code does not allow TPZ to be recognized in Williamson.
Right.
And that's what I'm trying to make sure we do allow, especially on existing contracts.
Yeah, that have no issues, yeah.
So I'll pull up the government code here for you.
I mean,
the reference on Part B is generic. That's why it makes sense to change Part B. Here's the, here, I'll expand it. So it's just basically a repeat saying, hey, counties are allowed to give preference to agricultural land. So it's not too objectionable. But it makes sense if you want greater control.
Blow that back up again.
Yes, sir.
Because I was almost to the point where
see, this is just referencing to be in, this is the minimum, right?
Right, specifically ag land.
Yes.
And that's where before subvention funds were pulled by the state did have the ability to tell a county that if they had contracts that included parcels that were TPZ, that subvention funds would be pulled. Well, since subvention funds have completely been pulled, the state basically has no hammer to drop on the counties anymore. So I want to make sure our county residents who have contracts are protected going into the future, whether it be from county or what may occur in the state. We recognize that a parcel, a Williamson contract could include, may include, a parcel that's zoned TPZ.
And that's why I would recommend referencing in B2 our Williamson Act guidelines, right? Because it's an official county document that lays out all the regulations for the Williamson Act.
I just feel more comfortable we flat out tell the supervisors this is what the Planning Commission feels, if there's no objection by the other commissioners.
I don't have any objection.
I agree with Mr. Phelps. A lot of this seems much more appropriate to Williamson Act guidelines. I mean, I'm trying not to weigh in substantively. This whole section really doesn't really seem to add much. Section A, an owner may enter a Williamson Act contract. Why does that need to be codified?
Yeah.
Of course, they may or may not. Then what zones, that's covered in the policy guidelines. Application process, that sounds like a guideline thing.
So do we even need this in here then?
You know, that's why I'm saying I'm out of turn, because it's really up to you guys.
Does it need to be noted in the zoning? I think this is covered
in the guidelines.
I know why this is included in here and why the consultants did it, is because when we had our big supervisor planning commission meeting, mm-hmm. and we were all seated over there, supervisors were up here, we had Supervisor Cobseff, Supervisor Halp, both direct consultants to make sure that the Williamson Act was included in the general plan update. That's why it's here.
Gotcha.
That's why it's new.
Right.
And I think Commissioner Hart and myself, I don't know if there are others, we concurred and said, yes,
you
gotta have it.
Yeah.
So that's why it's here.
Sure.
Okay.
Just because of the politics of Williamson Act and different demographics,
mm-hmm.
who want it gone,
right?
That's a long question.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So I understand. So if it's not in the zoning as a thing, okay.
It
understand.
Needs to be here.
Yeah. No.
Yep. Gotcha.
So, Commissioner Phelps, what if Commissioner Fowle?
Talking to yourself?
So
B3.
So B, what if we added B3? And we'll wordsmith it, but basically this is what you're asking. For existing Williamson Act contracts, land that is zoned TPZ may be included if part of the overall commercial agricultural operation.
I don't even think I'd go for existing. I'd flat out say Williamson Act contracts that may, I still think that they may include TPZ, because the county has the ability to do new contracts. They have the ability to amend and expand existing contracts. I don't want to tie the hands to where it's only existing, because I think that it behooves this county to be able to offer or accept a new contract in the future. Not that they may, but I don't want to give them the ability, should they decide to do that, where they can deny somebody some